Welcome everyone to New Harmony Baptist Church. Excited for another day in the Lord's house. Everybody ought to be happy. Most everybody's teams won, I think, so that's what tends to make us happy, I guess. But it's good to be getting some things back to normal. Of course, we know there's still many suffering from the virus and different things. So continue to remember each one. Remember the families that have lost loved ones. Continue to remember Jane and Jackie McDaniel, as Jackie has come home, and Jane has taken a leave of absence from work to help take care of him, and I think the kids are trying to help all they can also. So remember each one, and be much in prayer for them. Do we have any others? I know, continue to remember Janelle and Kenny, as they stand in need of your prayers.
Charlie's sister Sandra.
Yes. She's still in the hospital?
No, she came home first, but she's not Sandra yet.
Right. Continue to remember her and her family. Any others?
I have a prayer report. My mom got to come home.
Amen.
She's doing better, but she's just real tired, and she's still on oxygen. But thank y'all for y'all's prayers. Appreciate it.
She had a rough go of it. She had a lung disease to start with, and then got the COVID and had a rough time. So many prayers went up for her. So we thank everyone for that. Is there any others we need to remember? You'll notice we're all wearing our cancer ministry shirts today. They blamed it on me for leaving and didn't get a picture when we had it, so I'm blaming it on Larry Benson. He wanted to see our fellowship hall, so that's who I'm going to blame it on. But anyway, we're getting it, so stick around. If you got this gray shirt on, you probably know we'll get a picture after service. And of course, it's casual Sunday, and so I ask everyone to be much in prayer for our service, be much in prayer for our church, as we are getting to the time of year that's usually really, really busy. I don't know what that's going to look like this year as far as our doings of Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that, but we'll figure it out. Remember our Christmas shoe boxes, as you've seen the list to bring stuff for it. Pray that God will touch each box that goes out, that some child will see the love of Christ through the churches who do this, the people who do this, and I know that it won't go void. Any other prayer requests? Nothing else. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then our singers will come. Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for the blessings of life, of getting to see one more day. God, we thank you for everyone you've given a desire to come out to your house. I pray that we worship you in spirit and in truth, and most of all, I pray that your spirit is among us. Without the spirit of God, we can do nothing. God, we pray for that this morning. Lord, I pray for all these prayer requests that's been made known, maybe the ones that were silent. I pray that you touch in each situation. God, heal the ones who need healing. Be with the families of those who have passed. Comfort them as only you can. And God, we ask you to be with our nation as we come upon this election, and we understand the importance of it, and we know that your will be done. But God, we pray that you turn the hearts of the people to you, and we don't know what it takes sometimes that you do. But God, we ask you to be with us today. Let us forget everything besides worshiping you for just this hour. We can only do that. We'll see a difference. I ask you to touch our singers this morning as they sing. Let them sing No Other Reason to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. For in his name we ask it. Amen.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. down on a tree and took the nails for me.
Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Every hour I need.
Enjoyed that music this morning. Appreciate the being able to have singing back. We don't realize what we take for granted. And of course, I guess you saw in your bulletin, we're going to try to get our Sunday school going back the second week of October and try to get that back going and some more things getting back to towards normal maybe. This message this morning has been studying in Timothy about the you know anything about Timothy, of course, he was a young pastor that Paul saw a need to put some invest his time into. God had laid on his heart. We know that in the books of Timothy, that the epistles of Timothy that Paul wrote was great advice to not only the young pastor, but to pastors still today. And as I was studying that, I come upon something that spoke to me about the promises of God. We are got a lot of uncertainty in our world today, and even in our own communities, in our little neighborhoods we live in, a lot of uncertainties. But the title of this sermon is Standing on the Promises. I've tried to look up how many promises is in the Bible, and I've got wrote down in one of my Bibles at home 971 that one of our pastors told us in the past, and I don't remember what year I would have wrote that down, but I studied and looked at some more stuff, and it looks like there could be 3,000 something promises, but actually, this whole thing is a promise of God. It is full of God's promises, and the meaning of a promise is a divine assurance of good. Divine assurance of good. That's in the Strong's Concordance. If you look up this scripture here I'm going to give you, and you look up that word promise, the Strong's meaning of it in the Greek and Hebrew was a divine assurance of good. And I think today that we all stand in need of some divine assurance of good. Not from me, not from our president even, not from our governors, but from the God himself, the Almighty God, the one who is in control. There's nobody else that can control the things happening in our land besides God. We may think we can control things, but you'll quickly find out in life that without him, you can't control anything. He is in complete control. And man, how awesome it is to think about how good and how worthy he is. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 1. I want you to think about this as I read it. Very, very, maybe familiar to you. I don't know. I'd never paid a lot of attention to this one verse. But it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. According to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Think about that. Father, we thank you for this verse. God, we ask you to open hearts and minds today and ask you to touch our lips as we preach. God, may we do nothing but preach the Word of God in the best of our ability. And I pray that the Spirit would be among us this morning, that you would touch hearts and lives. I know I can say a million words, but without him, nothing is any good. I ask that he speak to hearts and lives today, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. There is so, like I told you, there's over, Bible scholars differ, but from 900 to 3,000 to a whole book of the promises of God. So there's no way that I could preach about all of them, so I just picked out three or four this morning that God's laid on my heart that we're going to try to help you understand that you can stand on. Because like we've done talked about, that we know that nothing in our country even has been the same since March. It's been a whirlwind. We are here almost in October, and where did the rest of the year go? It just went away quick because we was all focused on this virus thing, and we couldn't plan anything because when we did, it would get changed, and nothing ever stayed the same, and we know that change, that's what change is. But listen, one thing you can always count on is the promises of God. I can promise you something, and because of circumstances, I'll have to go back on my word. We planned a bunch of stuff at church for this year. It didn't happen. I thought it would happen, but it didn't. But nothing you will find in this word of God that God has promised that will not come to pass, because He is the divine God. He's the awesome God. He's the only one true God, and He is able to keep that He has promised, and you can stand on that today. Let's look at the first promise, is the promise of salvation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13, listen to this verse. Now, we quote this all the time, but I want you to really take some time to read this. That if thou shouldst confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boy, ain't you proud of that promise this morning. Hey, it don't say I got to have a certain amount of money. It don't say I got to be a certain height, thank God. It don't say I got to look a certain way. Pat, it don't even say I got to be young or I got to be old. All it says is that I have got to believe and call upon the name of the Lord, and I will be saved. That's what it says right there. And that's a promise of God, and it's a promise that all men must stand on. That's the one promise that we all must agree on, is that is the only way to be saved. There is no other way. There's no works you can do. Your righteousness is a filthy rags. There's nothing good you will ever do. You can feed all the poor. You can give money to all the broke. You can do all these great things. But the only thing you'll ever do that will save your soul from a place called hell is that verse right there. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a very simple statement in the Word of God, but look what weight that thing holds. Whosoever. And we're living in a time now when people are divided by race and all these different things. And that, listen, it don't say anything about who you are right there. It says whosoever. Anybody can call upon them. And the verses before that said that whether you be Jew or you be Greek or whatever you are, every single person who has ever, God has ever given life, if they will call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Now listen, the Bible teaches that God must draw you, and I believe that. I believe there's a time in our life when the Spirit of God draws us towards God, and at that point we get an opportunity to say yes or no to Him. And my friend, my prayer is today that nobody here has rejected Him, because if you reject Him, there remains no other way to be saved. It's the only way. How simple this promise is. We take this one for granted so much because we don't understand the magnitude of sin. We take this thing for granted of salvation because we can't grasp how serious sin is. You see, God, and our minds get hurting right here, God is complete holiness. He is a complete picture of holiness. There is nothing dark about Him. There's nothing dark in Him. There's nothing dark around Him. He is a picture of complete light. It's the brightest light your mind can fathom. And if you take one bit of darkness and you put into that light, then it is no more pure light. And God is complete holiness. He's complete light. And He cannot have anything that is not holy around Him or in Him or anything to do with Him. And this is the reason that salvation must be His way. And when you understand how dark sin is, then you'll understand how great this promise is. Whosoever. Now these same whosoevers that can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved are the same whosoevers that have sinned. For the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says there's none good, no, not one. Y'all know I cut up and say that's teenagers that he's talking about right there. But it's all people. There is none that is good. There's none worthy of salvation. So those whosoevers that have sinned are the same whosoevers that get an opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord and to be saved. Thank God for this promise this morning of salvation. There remains no greater promise than this right here. Then you can be saved. You can be saved. What are you saved from? You're saved from sin. What is sin? It's the direct opposite of God. It's missing the mark. It's something y'all still don't know how I explain it a lot of times, because I have to explain stuff simple because I'm not very smart. But listen, that meaning of sin means missing the mark. It means if you had an archer's bullseye and you miss anywhere but the direct center of that bullseye, then that is sin. That is how close the sin is with God. Now, me and you think if we hit anywhere in the target, it's pretty good. But that's not how God operates. And God knew that me and you couldn't do that. So he gave us a Savior named Jesus. That all I had to do was when he pricked my heart and let me know I was a sinner. And then I had to believe upon the name of him. I had to call upon him in my distress and in my sin. And he says, whosoever will call upon him shall be saved. What about that promise? Man, that's a great one, isn't it? We take it so much for granted. Sin's direct opposite of God. It separates God and man. God's completely holiness can't have anything to do with darkness at all, or he wouldn't be completely holy. And his great mercy and grace, he made a way. And listen, not only did he make a way, it is still available. It's still. He loved man so much, John 3:16 tells us. For he loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten son. Because when Adam and Eve sinned in that Garden of Eden, and that relationship was broken between God and man, between his greatest creation and him, it was severed in that garden. And listen, this didn't surprise God. Before eternity passed, he had a plan made of how he would reconcile man back to him, and it took the salvation, or the giving, the sacrifice of his only son. And thanks be to God for the mercy and grace that he poured upon us and given his son for each one of us. And we take this thing for granted, and we don't understand how important it is. But listen, it took that of his precious and holy son to repair the relationship that man destroyed. Not only did it happen in that garden, but it's still available today. In 2020, the same way that God made that plan is still available to us today. It's still there for the taking of when that heart is pricked and that God draws that person. That's still available that they can be made right with God. I hear these people, and I say this all the time, but I have to say it. I hear these people saying, well, in year such and such, I made a deal with God. Well, me and God has got an understanding. I'm going to do this for this many years, and then when it's time to straighten up before I die, I'm going to do that thing. Let me tell you something. You have not made a deal with God. The deal with God is that he made a sacrifice for your sin of his precious son. If you don't accept it, you don't believe it, you get to a place called hell. That's the only deal with God. People say, well, how's a loving God send people to hell? He never has. He never will. You make that choice on your own. But he's made you a promise that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Oh, me. That means I get to, Pat. That means you get to. That means no matter what you've done, I don't know how bad you are, but you're pretty bad. Because, listen, he says none is righteous, no, not one. We know Billy Graham, I talked about that in preaching, where he said that he knew evil as existed because it existed in his own heart. We all know what we're capable of. We're each capable of anything that any man this world has ever done. We're capable of the same sin. It's by God's mercy and grace that we're not in a prison somewhere today. We're not any better than any of them. But by the mercy and grace. Listen, when this great thing happens of being saved, there's a new creature that's formed. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I didn't pin this one down, but in there, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus said, you must be born again. How can you? He said, I don't understand. How can I go back to my mother's womb? He said, listen, you got to be born spiritually. And listen, that spiritual being is a brand new creature. It says the old things are passed away. That old stuff you've done is gone. It's thrown to sea of forgiveness. You are a brand new creature, and you get this to become this brand new person through this promise of God. You see these people that go to prison. Many of them do get jailhouse religion. I'm sure Brother Ray saw that. You get that. But listen, there's some in there that truly get saved. And they change their life. They are a brand new creature. And people will say, well, I don't know about that thing. I know what he did in his past. Listen, if God had miraculously saved a soul according to the word of God and this promise in the word of God, they are a brand new creature. The old stuff has gone and they become brand new. It's like a do-over. You remember when you was a kid and most of us, it was real competitive. We made up the rules as we went because we didn't want to lose. We would change the rules halfway through so it would fit our thing. And if you messed up, you'd say, I want a do-over. Listen, in salvation, brother, you get a do-over. You get a do-over. So God's promise of salvation, how great it is. Let's move on. God's promise of keeping what he has promised. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. Listen to this. That salvation I'm talking about, this is what it gives you. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them is greater than no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Think about that. The one who gave you to him is the Father, and because that he gave it. Now let me ask you a question right quick. Do any of y'all know anything more powerful than God? Do you know anything more powerful than the hand of God? No, there's nothing. God can speak, and worlds come into existence, and stars are formed, and planets come to be, and human beings, he breathed the breath of life into our nostrils, and we become a living being, and we know that God created everything. He is everything, and without him is nothing. So if he has given us to Jesus, and if we're in the palm of his hand, and God has got us, how can we ever be plucked out of the palm of his hand? We cannot be. We are secure. We are promised that we are sealed until the day of redemption. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is an earnest to us to know for certain that we have been saved. It said if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have God. So if the Spirit don't dwell in you, then you need to do some checking up and you need to do some praying this morning. Our second greatest promise is he's able to keep me. He's able to keep you. You say, well, whoa, wait a minute now. What about if I do something? Are you greater than God? Are you greater than the Father? The Bible says neither height nor depth nor anything can separate you from the love of God. Are you greater than God? Then listen, if you're not greater than God, if you are greater than God, I want to meet you. I want to see you make planets. I want to see you create a human being. I want to see you create all the things that God has done. If you are greater, then listen. If you say, well, I can't do that, preacher, then listen. If you can't do that, then how can you pluck you out of the Father's hand? You cannot. You are sealed and you are saved and you are secure. And that's a promise from God. Man, how great is it? You see, we had nothing to do with salvation but calling upon the name of the Lord once we understood we was a sinner. I had nothing to do with that salvation except receiving it. God created the perfect plan of salvation. God made it. God, it didn't take him off of his game. It didn't throw him a loop when Eve sinned and eat of that fruit in the garden. He didn't say, oh my goodness, here we are. Now sin has come up. God knew what would happen when he created man. And Jesus knew what happened. And that song we all used to sing in the Red Book, and I still like to sing it, that God searched through heaven to find a Savior. That's the biggest lie that's ever been penned in music. That thing, God didn't search through anything. Jesus knew from the beginning that he was, that he would come and die for all mankind. There was never a need to search anywhere. God knew the plan. Nothing took him by surprise. We had nothing to do with salvation. We can do nothing to do with losing it. It's a promise of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Listen to this. I didn't pin it, put it down on y'all's list, because I actually remember this one. How are we saved? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I remember, I've told y'all this many times, when I was saved, right after I was saved, for years and years, I doubted. I said, Lord, did I say the right things? I don't know if I understood what to say. God, did I repent of enough stuff? Did I do all this? And then one day I was driving, and this verse come to me. It said that words are a work. That moving that you had to come to the altar wasn't a work. It says, not by works, lest any man should boast, but we are saved by grace of God through faith that I put in him. You see, the moment that my mind understood I was a sinner and I realized I needed a Savior and my mind turned towards Christ at that moment, I believe I was saved forever, Ray. I don't understand how it happened, but I believe it did. And according to this word of God, he's able to keep it, and nothing can ever pluck me out of his hand. We ought to run around heffling this morning, shouting, with Ray following us. We are saved, we are secure. Promise that nothing. Listen to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 19. Listen to this. Boy, I read this yesterday and I thought how wonderful this verse is. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing will I bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is them, the end of all strife. Wherein God, now you got to slow down and understand this. Because me and you, when we want somebody to believe we're telling the truth, we'll say, I swear. And I've heard people say, I swear on the word of God. Or I swear on this, or I swear on that. But listen to this. Were God willing more abundantly show unto the heirs a promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for a refuge, laid hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. God could not swear by anything greater than himself. Because listen, did you understand what it said? Because whether Pat will believe this or not, I can tell a lie. Whether Stephanie will believe it or not, our daughters can tell a lie. And they are good at it. Because we have nothing that ever happens from anybody in the house. It's amazing to me. We went to eat chili this week and all of our spoons was gone. But nobody got them. And they miraculously appeared in Abby's car. There was forks, I'm sorry. But seriously, God cannot lie. And he knew that, and he says, listen, I'm the most pure thing there's ever been, and I can't swear on anything greater, so I swear upon myself that this promise I've made you is secure. The hope that you have in Jesus Christ today is secure, and nothing can take it away from you, because God swore upon it on himself, and my friend, God cannot lie. So it must be pretty secure. Whew, God's promise of keeping what he had promised. Thirdly, God's promise of sustaining us. We're in this election cycle. And I'll say this, I may have to go back on it. But I believe our country will probably go through another shutdown before election. Because a certain side wants our nation to be shut down at the time of election. And people will get excited, our jobs will seem like they're going away. And everybody will get upset and say, what am I going to do? If I don't have a job, I can't pay my power bill. If I don't have a job, I can't do this. What will our church do? Our tithes quit coming. That's what was going through our minds in March, if you'll be honest with yourself. But guess what? They didn't. God still sustained us. He will sustain us. He has promised you that he will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And I just told you, God cannot lie. Listen to this one. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetous. Boy, this one right here hurts. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. You know what things he's talking about? We've all took this and say, well, maybe I should be content with my truck, or maybe I should be content with my house. And you should be, but that's not the contentment it was talking about. It was talking about being content with what God has given you in the salvation of your souls and the keeping of your souls, because it has told you right there, because he is able to keep it. And we should be content in those things. If you had nothing else in this world but Jesus Christ, what else do you need? And he promises you that if you are his, you will not go lacking. He says, now listen, I don't believe he'll give you a Cadillac when you ask for it. If you don't need it, if you needed one, he would give it to you. But he says, I will give you what you need. Remember this, I didn't put the scripture down, but we know the scripture. Remember, consider the lilies, how they neither toil nor reap. God clothes them. Remember the ravens? They don't have barns, they don't farm, but God feeds them. Remember all the other animals? Have you ever saw an animal that didn't know what to do? No. Only time that animals get into a mess is when me and you put our hands in it. We take an animal from a place he's not supposed to be and put him in a place that we created for him, then we get problems. But when you leave it to God as he set it up, he takes care of everything, the oceans, the air, the ground with the animals, the insects, the snakes, and all them things. God made it perfect, and he provides for them every single day. Me and you are much better than the sparrows. He has promised. He sustains. Psalms 27, 35. I must not put that one down either. Well, you need to look it up. It's a good one. I don't remember it. But God's people would not be without needs. We will not be without what we need. You say, well, I don't know how I'm going to do this. He'll take care of it. He tests your faith. And somebody just this week, I'm not going to call any names, was wondering how something was going to be paid. They was in a mess. Didn't know how it was going to happen. Had tried to figure out all the opportunities themselves. Got some money back, didn't even know what was coming. God provides. You can search anywhere you want to, and you will not find a lie that God has ever told. If God says, I'll take care of you, then you need to take it to the bank. But we spend all of our time worrying about how we're going to fix the problem. How am I going to fix it? Oh, I ain't got this, I ain't got that. What am I going to do? Number one thing, you need to take out of the equation and say, God, I need you to work in this situation, and I promise you, according to the word of God, which he's done said, he cannot lie, he will act on your behalf. Before the time is up, you will have what you need. Not only does he sustain, but God's promises are eternal. You ever made a promise that you forgot you made? Sure you have. You made a promise and you forgot it. Somebody said, well, you remember such and such year you promised you would quit doing this, you would quit doing that? You say, doggone, I remember that, but I forgot it. God's promises are eternal. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. And this is a promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Of all these great promises we have preached about, the greatest of all of these is eternal life. Of course, salvation is what brings about eternal life. But every promise that's in the Word of God is not a temporary promise. You see, me and you have a hard time fathom this because we work on the temporary. Everything we do is temporary. That job you think is secure, my friend, it's temporary. Either it's going to go away or you're going to retire one day. That spouse you have is temporary. What I mean, I hope they don't leave you, but if they could. But if not, one day they're going to die. Blake and Amberly smiling, they must be thinking about it. They got to say them, Blake, it's cheaper to keep her. But listen, one day, we don't like to think about this, but that spouse is going to pass. It breaks our heart, but it's going to happen. It's temporary. That car you've got is temporary. The house is temporary. God's promises are eternal. Every single one. It don't mean that when you're good, that promise is good. When you mess up, that promise goes away. God's promises are eternal. I put down 971 because that's what I was always told, but if there is 971 promises in the Word of God, every single one of them are eternal. They last forever. They never run out. Nothing changes God's promises. There's people in here right now, under the sound of my voice, no more than here this morning, that you think that you've done something that has broke God's promise. Well, God's promise to me of this was good until I did this. God's promise of this was good, but I messed it up. I failed him. I committed this sin. I did this thing. I can't believe I did it, but I did this thing. So surely that promise is null. No. God's promises is based, you remember? He couldn't swear on anything greater, so he swore upon himself to Abraham. I will bless you. I will increase your multitude as the stars of the sky and of the sands of the sea. He could swear upon no greater thing, so he swore upon himself. He said, Abraham, you've got my word, and I cannot lie because I'm complete holiness. And in me is nothing dark. Has never been a lie, never will be a lie of anything with God. So that promise that God has made you of salvation is still there. Nothing. Listen to that. Eternal life. Nothing can take it away. The one of keeping you. Nothing can do away with that. The one of sustaining you. Nothing can make God not want to sustain you. The best thing that we have to do with this that we can understand is our children. You see, when they're born, they're innocent. And then as they grow up, they begin telling lies. They begin doing these things towards us. And then at some point, they're probably going to rebel against you. If yours hadn't, then you're blessed. But they will. You may not know it, but they will. But those children, not once do you ever stop loving them. And you know what? As mean as you want to be, you say, well, if he leaves this time, he won't come home. Yes, he will. If any of our children called right now and said, Daddy, I need something, what can you do? You may not have it, but you'd find a way to get it, because that's yours. That's yours. As much as you want to kill Marley sometimes, you provide for her. You see, it's the same way with God. And I think God give us families and children to understand a little bit about him. Now, we can't fully understand God, because his ways is high above my ways. And my ways are sinful, and his is not. But he's promised me all these promises eternal. And I can count on them. I can be assured of them. In this time of turmoil, I want you to do something. When you turn on the news next week and you see all these things, and I have done this, I've been waiting on the bad stuff to come before 2020 is out. What about if we turned and looked at the blessings 2020 has brought? You say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Are you alive this morning? Did you have something to eat? If you wanted it, you did. All of us in here are blessed. Did you have a way to get to the church this morning? Do you have a nice church building to sit in that is air-conditioned, that has padded pews? We'll come tonight and we'll have a good time of fellowship. We'll have food to eat. We'll have the Word of God to be taught. We'll have games to play and enjoy each other's fellowship. My friends, what if we turn and look at 2020 as a blessing and a promise of God? If we did that, we could rest in the middle of this turmoil of knowing that I can stand on the promises that God has made me. No matter what happens in 2020, I'm not going to lie to y'all. I've let this election thing bother me too much. I've been thinking, well, if this side wins, then my life as I know it is over. Me and Stephanie went to a thing in Birmingham one time, and the dance guy was there that worked for Lifeway. I can't remember his first name. He was Bill Dance's nephew. And I'm still friends with him on Facebook. He worked for Lifeway. He was a pastor's pastor. He posted something the other day that I have thought about a lot. He said, all through my life, there have been elections of gloom and doom if the other side won. But one thing is, God has never changed. You see, no matter who wins this election, God is still God. All them promises are still eternal. And because they want to change the way we do things, they cannot take away God's will. They cannot take away God's provision. They cannot take away your salvation. It may be God's plan. I don't know. What I do know is you can rest and you can stand on the promises of God. This morning, are you all upset? Maybe somebody in here that don't know what they're going to do, and you may not be certain that you even have the promise. You know, I never try to get you to doubt your salvation, but I want you to be sure. This morning, do you know without a shadow of a doubt, at some time you have called upon the name of the Lord? Because it says if you have, it don't matter what work you've done, it says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, well, what about that one that's killed them people? Don't say anything about him. It says whosoever. What about them who has run around on spouse and done this and that? Don't say that. It says whosoever. You say, well, you don't know all the bad I've done. I don't, but it don't say nothing about it. It says whosoever. You ain't done nothing bad enough that God won't save you. You may be here and you may have been saved 50 years and you're upset. Why is everything going wrong in this world? I don't know what to do. Stand on the promises of God. He will keep you. Pat, if you'll come. Everyone would please stand. We've seen all these things on Facebook. What if 2020 was this? What if it was this? It was all those things are funny about how bad this year has been. But you know what I remember? I remember talking about how bad 2019 was, and I said, I don't think another year can be this bad. God showed me. Let's talk about how good 2020's been, and 2021 going to be better. Positive, knowing that God is in control and his promises are sure. As she sings, plays, you need to come down here this morning. You come pray. We'll pray with you. Anything. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, will you call upon him? Don't worry about what you did, what you didn't do. You call upon Him, and it says you shall be saved. And once you're saved, you are kept. You are secure. Nothing can pluck you out of His hand. Nothing. Nor heights, nor depths, nor principalities, nor powers, nor nothing. Nor things to present, nor things to come shall pluck you out of the hand of God. You come this morning.